This episode is brought to you by CBS All Access. If you don't already subscribe to CBS All Access, please use our affiliate link by going to talkthroughmedia.com/CBS. Using our affiliate link gives us a little credit, which helps us to keep bringing you great content. U.S. residents only. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Star Trek Lower Decks podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And tonight we'll be covering season 1, episode 2 of Star Trek Lower Decks, titled Envoys. But before we get started with this, and we should say, first of all, we apologize. This is obviously coming to you later than normal this week. We had to record actually on Tuesday night. Originally, it was going to be Monday night, but we ended up pushing it back because we weren't ready. So anyway, apologize for that, but you should get the next episode hopefully pretty close to the regular schedule. So, but anyway, before we get started with Envoys, we have some additional feedback that we received and other things for season 1, episode 1, Second Contact. So let's open hailing frequencies. And before we get started with that, we have errata.
Incorrect.
And this is on me. As I was editing the episode, all through the episode, I said the showrunner's name wrong. Now, I'm not the only one, because I listened to several podcasts, and several podcasts got it wrong, but I didn't hear a uniformly wrong way to say it. But for some reason, I kept saying Mike Mahan, and that I knew that was wrong. It's Mike McMahon, like Ed McMahon, like from The Tonight Show. Yeah, it's spelled slightly differently. It's an A-N instead of an O-N, but I believe when I've heard it pronounced, it's like Mike McMahon, or since you're, live in Chicago, you might know Jim McMahon from the Bears, the Bears. So with that, we also have a voicemail, and this is actually was one single voicemail, but I cut it into two segments because at first Fred talks about the first episode and then he starts talking about the second episode. So I cut it in half. So anyway, here's part one of Fred's voicemail. So hi, Fred.
Hello, Brian and Kyle. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Star Trek Lower Decks season 1, episode 2. Nice to be back. It has been quite a while since I gave feedback for Star Trek Picard. Okay, about Star Trek Lower Decks. Did I really plan to watch this? Well, actually not. But then you get into your social media and everything pops up. And then you think, okay, I have to check it out. It is Star Trek. And as being a big Star Trek fan, I thought, okay, I have to check this out to at least form an opinion about it. Of course, I watched every Star Trek. Not completely true, because I never watched the animated series. I did watch the two animated short tracks, though. So when I started watching, I thought, is this a cartoon for children, or is it a cartoon for adults? And it took me until the scene in the holodeck after Ensign Boimler left, and the two girls asked, or at least Ensign Mariner asked, for a gym full of nude big guys. Then I thought, okay, probably adults. The beginning of episode 1, I found a little hectic, too fast paced. I really wondered if I had to put it in the category of a comedy. Is it a comedy? If it is a comedy, it's okay that Ensign Rutherford is sitting there with his, let's say, love interests, although in the back there are big fights. If it's not a comedy, it's all a little bit unlikely.
And that's the end of his part one. So he gets a double showcase this week. So, Fred, thank you for part one of your voicemail. And like I said, I figured I might as well split it into two since we had quite a bit of feedback left over from the last one. So I'll just cut it right there and say thank you. And yeah, it's definitely not an animated show for children. I mean, especially with this episode, there were a bleeped out F word. And I think there was something like that last week as well. And, you know, nudity and stuff like that. So yeah, it's for an adult market. I mean, you could probably stretch it and say teenage / adult.
Yeah, it definitely is on a different, you know, like an upper level kind of thing, because yeah, it's like it deals with Star Trek, but yeah, they say and do things that we would not see in a kid's show. And I never thought that it was supposed to even be that at all. I think we all knew that was like, it's going to be kind of more of an adult kind of show.
Yeah.
But I do agree with him though. That was like, at first it was like the whole, it just is a fast pace, you know, yeah. Like they talk fast, they say things yeah. really quickly. And if it wasn't for the caption, you know, then it was like, if I wasn't paying attention, it would be really hard to kind of follow. But
yeah. And I think, you know, us talking about it last week, I think one thing I've realized is that I probably benefited a little bit from watching the footage of the cold open from the San Diego Comic-Con virtual con, because they showed it there. So I was able to see it before and see it a couple of times. So I was able to absorb it. But I mean, this show does get pretty fast paced and it does hit you with a lot of stuff right mm-hmm. away. Like I found on this watch that I just did, I had to stop in several places and kind of like, you know, look around and say, oh, well, this happened and this happened. And, oh, we just got this kind of alien, that kind of alien. And I tried to do all of that. You'll see. I tried to do that without like going back and looking at some of the Easter egg YouTube videos and that. So I may have missed a few things, but there were some things that popped up when we talk about this week's episode. Yeah. So, and I know there were some things that I missed on last week's episode that I didn't talk about, but yeah. So anyway, thank you, Fred. Good to hear from you again. And let's move on. We've got some feedback actually from Edwin from Arizona. Why don't you do that one?
All right. Well, Edwin from Arizona says, it's nice that you guys are back. Yay. Although I'm new.
Yes.
I just saw the Lower Decks episode and I liked it. Later, I loved it. 9 out of 10.
And yeah, I should explain. So originally he said in the comments on Facebook, he said, I liked it. And then a few comments later in the thread, he said, I loved it. So that's where the later came in.
Nice. Okay. Well, it kind of probably fits with me then. And then he gave a yes and he said, not too short, not too long. It went by at a good pace. Very funny.
Jim from Florida, who I'll say Jim, he's got a pretty critical eye. Not saying he hates everything. I just mean that he holds things up to a high standard. And anyway, you've heard him on Patreon episodes. He's brings up a lot of great points. So he said, I'm a big Rick and Morty fan, but I did not enjoy this. I did not laugh once. The humor was forced to me, and I found myself doing the Picard maneuver quite a bit. Shrugging your shirt. If you enjoyed it, that's great. To each their own. But for me, it's a big pass, and he gave it a -3. Out of 10 rage infected crew members. And I had to just clarify, is that a 3 or a -3? And he said, yeah, it's a -3. So yeah, he did not like it at all. So anyway, sorry to hear that, Jim. You know, to each your own, like you said. And I know Jim wants to see more of like the morality tales and things like that Star Trek is so well known for. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be hard to do some of those, although I think we will get there on this show, at least on some level, but it's difficult to do in an animated show. So
yeah, and I saw a hint of something that is, you know, like we have the episode, like this episode where there's things are happening and like whatever, but it's like, I'm curious if like there's going to be some kind of overreaching arc, and I mean, we'll get into it. So I don't know. I'm like, I just found that for me, and we'll go into it, but this episode after last week, which I was very like, I'm not too big on this,
yeah, you know,
to being like, I've changed a lot, and it
well, was it's good.
More enjoyable watching it this time around on this next episode, once, you know, I kind of like got past the shock and awe of like something new.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like you said last week, it is very different. I mean, I thought it was very, it honored the, you know, the old like Next Gen and Voyager especially well, but it's also very different. It's differently paced and it's a much different format. Saying that it honors it and also saying that it's different, you can have both. So it is very different though.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
All right. Well, next is Mark from Kansas. He says, I've watched Lower Decks. Let me preface this by saying I went into this with very low expectations, bordering on an absolute close mindlessness. I came out of this premiere episode actually not hating it. I smiled and chuckled a couple of times. I had to put myself into a Rick and Morty McFarlane-verse state of mind. If you are absolutely go into this with a straight-ahead Berman track mindset, or you think this is a legitimate, genuine continuation of that universe, you'll see it as sacrilege and hate it because, as we know, what we all know, Berman Trek is devoid of any humor. Yeah, and I kind of just when I was doing my notes, I was like, I have to agree with this, and my ratings reflect that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean. It is kind of true. That's a lot of, well, I don't know. There were definitely some humorous episodes of Berman Trek. There's, you know, so it wasn't all humorless. Like,
no, but I think there's just like, there's those moments where it's just like, oh, here's the humor. And you get dropped in, but then that's it.
Right.
And then this, of course, is like, it's continuous on.
Right. So, right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Mark from Ontario, Canada. Another Mark. Says, so far I'm not hooked, but I'll keep watching. Maybe once I get to know the characters better, my opinion will change. But right now, I find the female character in the red uniform annoying. That's obviously Mariner. Star Trek Discovery's Tilly is annoyingly fun in her own quirky way, but this character is annoyingly irritating. I can understand that, and I honestly could feel a little bit of that this week more than I felt it last week. Although a lot of that kind of rubbed away when near the end there, where she at first seemed like she didn't recognize a Ferengi and then turned out that she did. So she annoyed me less, but a lot of the episode she annoyed me. So I know where you're coming from there, Mark. All right. We got one more bit of feedback.
Yep, Wes from Minnesota, and he says, I know I want to say this, and I could be completely wrong, but have you noticed that this is the first Kurtzman-era Trek series with episode titles? The short Trek series is a companion series, so I don't count it.
And I believe you're correct in that. I don't recall any other show, like not Discovery, not Picard, that had the titles in the episode. But we do get them in the short treks. So, you know, and they're fairly prominent actually in the short treks. So, and it's calling back, like we were saying, that's another way it kind of honors the 90s Trek, especially those fonts are exactly the kind of fonts that we used to see. So, on Next Gen. All right. So that's it for our feedback from last week. So now we get into this week. It is season one, episode two, titled Envoys. It is written by a co-executive producer, Chris Kula, I think is how you say it. And I didn't get to check to see whether this person has a position on staff or not. Kim Arndt is the director, A-R-N-D-T. And the description from CBS.com says as follows. After a high-profile mission goes awry, Boimler is further plagued with self-doubt when Mariner proves herself to be a more naturally talented sci-fi badass than he. It is rated TV-14 with the air date stated on CBS.com as August 12th. And again, it was released. When I first caught it was at 2:09 a.m. Eastern time. So came out at 11:09 Pacific time. So runtime of 25 minutes and 22 seconds, slightly shorter than last week, but still like longer than you would get for, you know, your standard 30 minute commercial
right.
filled animated show. So, or sitcom. So, Kyle, what did you think of this episode?
Well, surprisingly, since last week was a little different, I actually enjoy this. 9 Klingon apostrophes.
Yeah. Speaking of Klingons, 9 feasts on your misery. Well, actually, that wasn't Klingon. That was the energy being said, I will feast on your misery. Or I also went with 9 smorgasborgs. I like that. Or 9 shuttles of silence, which, of course, were broken very quickly. We got some listener ratings as well.
Edwin from Arizona gave it an 8.2.
Jeff, X-Force 11, gives it 7.5.
Steve from Missouri gave it a 9.5 drunk Klingon generals.
And Wes from Minnesota, and we'll be thanking him later in the episode. Wes from Minnesota says, this was better than Second Contact. I genuinely laughed at points 9 times Captain Freeman saying, it's warp time. Out of 10. That's not a great saying in my estimation, but I don't know. And lastly, LT from NC says, I'm giving this one an 8.9 out of 10, Section 31 power walks. Yes, I caught that one myself. Okay, so now for our yeses.
Yes!
All right, our first yes comes from Edwin from Arizona, and he says, nice to see the different sections of the ship. And I have to agree with that. It was nice.
And we may combine our yeses, nos, and not good enoughs next week just because there's not a lot here, so, but we're going to do them separately this time around. But Jeff, X-Force 11, says yes to romance. So what do you have for yeses?
Well, I mean, it's like at first I've been put off with Mariner's character, but with this episode, I really loved her. I mean, I think you were saying it's like towards the end, like she was kind of annoying, you know, the way she was like just being or whatever. And I kind of talked about this later, but the more I started thinking about it and the more of what happened at the end, I just feel like she's the Jadzia Dax, but she's cranked up to a 12. And so I kind of love that when I think about that now, because as it went through, like I started kind of feeling like I get her character more, and whether or not that was the intention or if that's even based on her, it was just like, I can see totally this is like Deep Space Nine kind of stuff.
Yeah, she kind of grows on you, I guess. Mm-hmm. I thought it was my yeses at all about to do with, I think they were all Rutherford. So I got a kick out of the whole thing with Rutherford. Well, although I had some nose on the Rutherford side. First of all, I think it was kind of an homage to the Roddenberry belief that humanity would, you know, become better in Starfleet or in the Federation time by the 24th century, because they're so positive. Like it's like each time Rutherford is like about to make a career change, they're like, what? And you think they're going to, you know, the chief engineer and then, you know, the security guy, and they're all like, you know, what? And they're, that's outstanding.
Well, especially when they were always like being like, oh, you're now part of the pack, and the pack always like, whatever, and we're sick together. And then it was like, what? And then, that's great. That's wonderful that you're moving on. We totally appreciate that you're moving on to something.
Exactly. So more evolved in the 24th century. So I love the fact the first Rutherford Command Simulation. It says, ship destroyed, casualties 105%. And then he's like, how could there be 105% casualties? And then what's his name? Commander Ransom says, next time you should employ the Janeway protocol, because, you know, of course. And then he's like, what's the Janeway protocol? And, you know, of course, Ransom thinks that he's joking. Of course, he doesn't know what the Janeway protocol
is. Right.
and then, of course, he employs the Janeway protocol in the second simulation, and he kills the kindergarten and the pre-kindergarten. And then he says, in thousands of simulations, that's literally never happened before. Let's try another one on a ship with even more children.
Children. No, this is kind of part of I kind of went the same way where I was like, okay, I'm like, where do I put my yeses, nos, and all this stuff? But I put it in my, like, just basically my feedback. But it was just like that whole like scene of just like, I loved how the fact that every bridge simulation like ends up the ship always getting destroyed.
Yeah.
It was like everybody's face is just covered in blood immediately as soon as the first attack. Yeah. Janeway protocol. And then it was like, I wasn't even sure what that was even supposed to refer to. And because I'm a huge, Voyager fan.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I'm not sure what that is.
I was trying to think of what the Janeway protocol would be. Yeah.
Because she would just have been like, hey, I'm going to like destroy the ship if I have to, or I'm going to get my crew out. I don't know. But the last part was just like all the children got injected into space.
Yeah, exactly.
like what situation does that call? We've never heard that ever. And I just thought it was I literally was like, WTF. I'm like, like all the children got thrown into into space. And he's like, that's never happened. Let's do this again with more children.
I know.
Like, what?
Yeah. And apparently, I was just looking it up on Memory Alpha, and that's the first time that we've heard it. Anything called the Janeway protocol.
Yeah, protocol.
So
yeah.
There was something says see also Janeway factor, and the Janeway factor was an informal term used by Captain Braxton in regards to Captain Catherine Janeway. Just that Janeway's meddling with the timeline, major annoyance. Anyway, but that's not really that. So yeah. So anyway, I thought all of that was pretty funny. Also, Rutherford's bedside manner, these are warp core burns. You should have died there. he didn't have a good bedside manner. And of course the smorgasbord was pretty cool. And I'm still wondering what the deal is with that Vulcan implant and what it's designed to do. It seems to do a lot. And then of course him, it's like, okie dokie, which I guess is kind of cute, but all right. So we have a few no's.
No!
Our first no comes from Edwin from Arizona, and he says, Mariner seems too good. There's no struggles or conflict in her character yet. Like towards the end, that's...
Yeah, well, I think there is a struggle or conflict because obviously... she hasn't moved up the ranks. So I think her conflict is the fact that, I don't know if I talked about this last week or not, but she is Boimler's age, yet it's pretty clear that she's had a lot more experience than Boimler. So that tells me that she probably was like a Wesley Crusher or Sylvia Tilly or someone like that who went through Starfleet, and I think even James T. Kirk, for that matter, went through Starfleet pretty young. And even though she's the same age as Boimler, she obviously got started a lot sooner, which tells me that, maybe for whatever reason, she was going up the ranks and, didn't like command or whatever, didn't like the responsibility. I don't know, but I think that's her conflict, is that she's this, multi-talented. If she just followed the rules a little bit, she would have like probably been a lieutenant commander by now.
Yeah.
But because she doesn't, you know, she's still an ensign getting into trouble. So
yeah. Yeah. And I kind of refer to her as kind of the army brat. Like, she grew up with being in Starfleet. I mean, her mom and dad are like high, you know, captain and admiral. And you kind of think of the same, like, you know, that's the 80s trope, you know, it was like army brats, you know, like, oh, like Iron Eagle, you know, it's like, oh yeah, it's like, you're just your dad's a famous, like, you know, pilot. And then you just happen to kind of follow along it, but because of that lineage or whatever, mm-hmm. then it's like, you already have this expectation, but yet you also get away with like, not being like, if you mess up, it's just like, oh, okay, well that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's how I'm kind of taking it from her. Right. But well, and then he also goes on to say Boimler is too whiny.
Well, Boimler is kind of whiny, so I can understand that for you know, bringing that up as a thing.
I think he's the try hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's book smart versus her being like people smart. Yeah, street smart. So I don't know, but he is a bit whiny. I will agree with that one, Jeff. Or sorry, Edwin. It's Jeff that has the next no, and he says no having to adjust to a 30-minute trek. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of adjusting to the short treks, except it's not quite as short. So I don't know. I mean, it doesn't bother me as much as it may some. Reminds me a lot of like The Mandalorian, because the first several episodes of The Mandalorian, I thought were like way too short, and I was really complaining about it a lot. And then finally, the last few episodes, they were longer. So it kind of reminds me of that, even though they're actually a little bit longer than The Mandalorian was. But again, I did watch the animated series, so it doesn't bother me that much. The pacing is pretty similar to that. So what do you have for no's?
I mean, it was kind of, I wasn't really entirely sure, but I know I saw some other people's comments of that about it, but I did kind of find like I thought it was a little kind of hokey that is like Tendi throughout this whole entire thing wanting to go, like, you know, Rutherford to like, hey, let's go, like, I thought we were gonna see the whatever nebula or whatever it was. And then it was like, oh, he's changed. Like, he was like, oh, well, then I should change career so I can like spend more time with you. And then at the end, she was just like, oh, I thought, I'm just kidding. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, like, hey, it's like, I was just kidding. I did not expect you to really do that. And then he was all like, oh, like, I thought I needed to do that. Like, I don't know. It was kind of like, eh, whatever.
I wonder if I think I mentioned. Did I mention about the Orion like pheromones last week? Maybe the Orion pheromones are actually going on with Tendi, you know. So Rutherford was kind of like her feminine wiles or whatever, kind of made him like do something crazy, like, oh, change careers. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I also agreed with this one. I thought that was kind of crazy that Rutherford would change career paths just to make Tendi happy. He's not in a relationship with her or anything like that. I mean, it's clear that he seems to like her, but changing career paths seems a little extreme to me. Yeah. And a no that I had is I didn't totally buy Mariner. Couldn't recognize a Ferengi as it happened, but I guess by the end we know why she didn't. So
that was kind of the surprise, but I was doing the same thing where she's like, she knows about every other alien,
right?
And like, Ferengis are like the, even if you're not in Starfleet, I think you would know a Ferengi,
right?
Like, it's just like the one constant that, like, right. Yes, Ferengis.
Yeah. We are actually going to skip our not good enough section because we did not get any not good enoughs, and it looks like we don't have any not good enoughs. So we're just going to march right on to our feedback section and open hailing frequencies. Okay, so our first bit is a voicemail from Jeff X-Force 11.
Hello, Star Trek fans. It's Jeff X-Force 11 with my review and thoughts on Envoys of Star Trek Lower Decks. I thought this was another fun episode. It's going to be a cool series just to watch and wind down with and have some good laughs with. I like how Mariner is kind of falling into the lovable rogue role and trying to help those around her. I'm enjoying the kind of love story that's going on between our other two Lower Decks cast members. And I just think it's a fun series. It's one of those things where I'm going to enjoy watching the episode again just to get things that I missed. But all in all, I'm enjoying this series. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 is out.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for your voicemail. And good to hear from you again. So let's talk a little bit about a couple things that he mentioned there. Mariner, is she in a lovable role? I don't know. I think it's becoming lovable. There are some parts there where, I didn't completely buy Oliver at first, but by the end, she seemed, she seemed better at the end when it's clear that she kind of took one for the team so that she could give Boimler some self-confidence, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I go into it later with my kind of feedback was just, they're obviously the pair. Like the team,
yeah.
The friendship, the, whatever that story is that we're going to see, like those two are connected and there's some overreaching story that I think that's what this is kind of all about. But
yeah, and it's obvious that there is some kind of like romance going on between Rutherford and Tendi.
Yeah.
Somewhat innocent, but at the same time, okay, so he's going to change careers just for her. And then mm-hmm. It seems like such a, I can just watch it on this pad.
Yeah, I know. Like after all that, although again, I'm like I have to agree with Jeff. It's like, yeah, this, it is fun to watch if you just like kind of don't like you let things go,
Right.
It's like, and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
But, it was like, I love the fact that Rutherford, you saw that he is the engineer.
Right.
So he's like, I love this. This is what I do. Like, so it's like to see him being like trying to like, maybe I should open myself up to other things, whatever. And it's just ridiculous all the way across because that's just not his thing. I thought that was fun to see. And then
yeah,
the way it ends up with Tendi or whatever, just like, it was just like totally not a big deal to her. I thought, it was kind of like, okay, whatever. But, I guess he's learn something out of it, and I don't know. We'll see. So,
yeah. Just
hopefully, it's something interesting that would harken back to this moment what we saw in this episode in the future.
Definitely, yeah. Okay, next is part two of his voicemail, Fred from the Netherlands.
Okay, going into episode two. I already liked this episode much better than the first, but that was mainly because I knew what I could expect. So I took the attitude of watching a satirical, comical Star Trek comic with a lot of references to the Star Trek universe, with all kinds of tropes, which are nice memories of the, let's say, normal series. And if you look at it in that way, it becomes quite different. I liked the bickering between Boimler and Mariner. Reminded me a little bit of McCoy and Spock, or sometimes even Spock and Kirk. The trope with the three-dimensional energy being that goes through the hull of a spaceship is not new at all, but the way Mariner dealt with it, it was completely surprising. Could not imagine any Starfleet officer that would do it like that. I found Anton Rutherford's storyline a little lame. Of course, we knew when he would go to other departments within the ship, he would land up in engineering at the end. His command simulation, of course, reminded us a little bit of the Kobayashi Maru. This Mariner is so annoying and teasing. I really wonder if this will stay the whole first season like that. At this moment, I enjoy it. It's nice, especially in contrast to Boimler. But if it goes on like this, it could be tiresome and too much of a trope then. Okay, that was all for now. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Fred, you have now won your second showcase award tonight. And thank you so much. And we won't ask how you got a hold of this. I don't know. Hopefully they will announce pretty soon something about the international rights. Like, as explained last week, this originally, it seemed like Discovery was going to come out first. And because of COVID-19, they switched it around. So that's why the rights have been negotiated. Lower Decks was moved up 2 months. So that meant that the negotiations, yeah, I'm guessing that Netflix and Amazon are both, you know, kind of in talks about it. So that's why it hasn't been announced. And we have some news about that this week. CBS All Access is actually getting ready to start to go international. So, So it could end up on the international CBS All Access or whatever they're going to call it. Things that you mentioned in your voicemail, you mentioned expectations. Yes. So I think setting expectations on this show has been difficult for some because it's like, even if you watch the animated series, this type of show is quite a bit different than that show. The animated series wasn't played for comedy. So it's different in that way. Obviously it's got like the comical references. It reminds me a lot of Futurama and It's kind of humor, I guess some of Rick and Morty, but Rick and Morty's a lot more cynical. So Star Trek Lower Decks is a lot more positive and not cynical. So, and he mentions Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, specifically, I guess, Spock and Kirk and McCoy and Kirk. I don't know. What did you think about that at all?
Yeah, I guess I was kind of putting it more in terms of like I'm looking at like Jadzia and Sisko kind of, You know, like that pair. Or, I mean, yeah, I guess it just kind of depends on which series or which era that you're looking at. There's always that grouping that you can do through.
Yeah, I can see that too. Rutherford's journey was predictable. I would agree with that. I mean, obviously, he's going to end up back in engineering. So, you know, it was kind of like a journey they didn't even need to do, but they did it. So, but anyway, Fred, thank you so much. Our next one is a very short one from Mark from Ontario, Canada. He just simply says, meh. And that's all he says. So it seems like this episode didn't do it much for him.
No. All right. Well, next is Steve from Oklahoma. And he says, oh, welcome, Steve. He says, Mariner proved to Boimler that manuals can't teach you everything, but didn't let that crush him by setting up the Ferengi, and Rutherford proved he was a man of his word and a great crewmate by trying to find another position on the ship. Very similar to every Trek series that the command crew have to earn each other's trust. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And we got a pretty big piece of feedback from LT from NC. We didn't really classify it. We just kind of lumped it into our general feedback. So I'll start it. He says, the thing that bugs me is that I liked the episode overall, but there were some things that bugged me a little. The Rutherford arc was amusing, even if it had a few annoying. Okay, it was cute. He was changing jobs to go on a date with Tendi. And I thought it was cute that every supervisor was supportive when he wanted to change jobs, since we all know how that goes in the here and now. Yeah, exactly. we still want to know just what is the Janeway protocol? I did get a laugh when Ransom wanted to replay the second simulation with a bigger ship. Okay, maybe it's my morbid sense of humor. After the asteroid hit the ship and vented all the children into space. I still think the doctor looks like Grumpy Cat. Yeah. Kind of does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still say it. I think it's like a cat version of Pulaski. So about that A story, why don't you take it from here?
All right. And he continues, after seeing Boimler in action, it kind of makes sense why it is the instant security officers that get killed on away missions. I mean, I like him well enough, but the Abbott and Costello routine between him and Mariner is just not always working for me. Just like there was a complaint on the short treks with Edwin, how you could have someone that messed up in Starfleet, no matter how smart he is. And I struggle to see how Mariner can still have a commission being such a wild child. It's just a little much for me. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'll go into later.
I can see that point, though. And yeah, it's kind of, I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit, too.
Which makes me wonder, I'm like, are we still missing out on information? Because
I talk about that actually in my comments too.
Cool. All right. Well, he continues on in the last part. Even with my misgivings about some of the writing, I do like the show so far, and I did like the pacing of this episode better than last week's premiere. And I have to agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've had in the past a section, spot the 47, and so far the number 47 hasn't played too much into this, but definitely references to other shows and other characters and other species has been very big in this show so far. So I thought before we get into our own notes, we'll have a little section called Spot the References. And my first thing has to do with several different plots, especially of Next Generation. This clip,
I guess I'm just not cut out for Starfleet.
Oh, please, you're Mr. Starfleet.
No, I'm not. Not like you are. I should just turn in my uniform and go work on a research asteroid.
No, absolutely not. Do not even joke about that. That is the lamest thing you could do.
I should just study bugs on a far-off planet and then eventually get eaten, and no one will even know until they stumble across my distress call, but it'll be way too late, and then they'll have to spend a bunch of time deciphering how things went wrong based on my final shaky video log.
I'm sure you wouldn't get eaten.
How many episodes of The Next Generation and probably Deep Space Nine and Voyager does that explain? And even TOS, does that kind of explain?
Right. Like, that is basically the same situation in every, like, horror sci-fi, like...
Yeah.
Any movie, you can name it. It's just like, she's like, you won't get eaten.
You know, even like in Discovery, the thing when they come across the Glen and they find the ship and these, you know, bodies are all kind of, you know, twisted apart and all that. It's all part. That's another one. And, there's so many examples. Booby Trap, the TNG episode Booby Trap, where they find that, I think it's Melkorian ship. you know, it's always, they find the logs. The Bretagne, that was another one from, I think, Night Terrors or something. That's another one. Like, there's so many of these. Anyway, it's funny. So, one thing I noticed... The being that came in during the cold open came in a similar way to the being that got Troy pregnant in the child. And I think that was intentional. And then it landed on Captain Freeman in a way similar to the spore landing on Tilly in Discovery. So I'm thinking we're not done with that energy creature because it got absorbed by Captain Freeman. So I'm thinking that's...
Yep.
Something
that's continuation. Yeah. We'll see it.
Yeah. Anson Castro served on the Enterprise. I certainly noticed that. This isn't really a reference, but Tolgana 4, it certainly had like some Federation there, but there was also Klingon and various other species and that. So I believe it was like a neutral world, but it's something brand new. The thing that Mariner mentioned when she was basically sleeping in the on the ship, what it was something that Khan said, and I'm going to bring that up really quickly here.
He tasks me, and I shall have him. I'll chase him round the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up.
Yeah, and that's, of course, from The Wrath of Khan. The Khitmor Accords are mentioned. That was, of course, mentioned several times. It was mentioned, I think, during yesterday's Enterprise, although I can't say that for sure. But they've been mentioned several times in Star Trek, and the Khitmor Accords has to do with the peace treaties that were signed during or at the end of Star Trek VI. So that's what that has to do with. Section 31, speedwalks, was mentioned already, but I took a mention of that. We saw Kalons from the episode Half a Life. That was the species that does like a ritual death at the age of 60. So we see those aliens again. Of course, we hear Jamaharon, which Jamaharon was from Ryza, of course. It's been mentioned a few times, but most notably on Captain's Holiday. The Anabaj and Taxor were new species for this show. I had to look them up, but they're never appeared before. But the Vendorian, the one that was looked like the Andorian, the old Andorian, that was a shapeshifter that we actually see in the animated series. So that was a new one. Yeah. And the number, it's NTC 75567.
I know. I was trying to look for the 47 reference. I was like, hey, like, let's add this up. And then, it's just 30. So, I figured, it's like one of those things where you're like looking for stuff and you're like, hey, what's that number? Maybe there it is, but it just, right. Unless we can figure out something.
Let's see. 755. Okay.
755 divided by 67.
Well, I'll get you there. So it's 75567. So the last two digits are 67. So if you take 755 and 6, that doesn't make it. I was thinking of being 20. So it doesn't make
20. Yeah.
So
maybe it's yes, but I don't
seven,
know.
But 7, 6, and 7 make 20. So if you take 7, 6, and 7 and make 20, then you subtract that from 67, you get 47. Oh my god, did I just do that?
Yes. Oh my god. Well, no, I was looking for something, and so I was like, hey, you do see it, and sometimes things matter. So
well, I'm just gonna say.
Incorrect.
Yeah, so anyway, we have our notes now. Kyle, why don't you start off?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had to agree with Mark from Kansas when he said it's like he was talking about just the show. Like, I think that it was because that I had to let my defenses down and just enjoy it and not be like holding the Trek canon Bible up in the air and like smiting the show down because I'm like, you're like totally like you not being true or like blah, blah, blah. So when I got past that, it's like, I enjoyed it so much more this last week when I was in that mindset. So it's like, not to say that I don't think it's like, a little over the top sometimes, but there were really a lot of good moments in this episode that I think the premiere, I feel like, was like a very different episode and maybe shouldn't have been the way that they started it off, because it was just like so, like, I don't know, like the zombie thing, all this
frenetic
stuff.
Yeah,
right. It was just, it was completely way off. But this episode, definitely, it was like, I laughed a lot. And to me, I'm like, okay, even with putting my guard down, I was just like, that's what I enjoyed. And I liked all, you know, like, I really enjoyed pretty much the whole entire episode. So I have to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I had a similar kind of thought. To me, like, I gave last episode a 9, but even though I gave this one a 9, it felt better for me. And maybe I gave it a 9 based on it being a first episode. But to me, overall, I thought I enjoyed this episode more.
Yeah.
So, and it felt more different, but at the same time, it felt more like a show, whereas the last one felt so frenetic and so fast paced that you had to watch it a few times just to absorb it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it kind of takes me back though a little bit to where, like, and obviously I'm kind of like trying to put it into kind of a reference, you know, like a connection or whatever, but it's like, I remember watching Deep Space Nine in the first couple seasons and I really wasn't sure about it. Didn't really quite like it. Like, I didn't really get the whole, like, they're just on the space station, or it was like the whole prophets and then like Cisco, you know, there's always those things that, like, you know, like connected you to Star Trek. But after the first two seasons, then it like totally, like, I don't know. Then it's like, I got into it and I changed my mind, and there was just like more of like the, it was a different way of telling a Trek story. Cause we weren't on just a, like a Enterprise or, you know, like a starship. We were in a space station, and they, you know, it was almost kind of like what people always say, it was a soap opera, blah, blah, blah. But even then, I think that was a very like jarring thing for people to watch that were fans, to like try to get past that. And I'm kind of feeling the same way with this. It's completely out of my wheelhouse, what I'm used to, but the pilot always tends to not always be the greatest episode. And then it's like, and then once you get into it after a couple or whatever, then it really starts kind of hitting. And like this episode to me was like, this is what I enjoyed this to so much on a different, like, higher degree than I did the first episode.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it was a better episode, so definitely.
All right, well, I go in, I like just Rutherford, like, he just, like, obviously he's the engineer, and so, like, the engineer, as we know, because I kind of felt like he, if I'm going to put him into any kind of context, like, he's our O'Brien for this show.
Yeah.
Like, he loves, like, he's an engineer, so he's going to fix it. And then he loves to be down in those tubes. And I thought it was hilarious that, like, Tendi was, like, saying, it's like, oh, like, he was like, I just spent, like, 5 days or whatever it was in the tubes. And she's like, oh, aren't you glad that it's over now? It's like, oh, no, but now I get to calibrate. And that'll take another 3-4 days. Like, it was just funny because he's just like, he is total engineer. So I don't know. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, he's definitely in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know,
it was fun to see him go through trying to do other things, but it just led him to be like, nope, I'm an engineer.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny. Like, he obviously had some skill in security, but I think it was largely because of the implants that he had, or implants.
Well, and then that's, I just ended up like going more because I was like, okay, I'm assuming he's not like part cyborg. He's not like part whatever. He just, he has an implant that has a Vulcan chip in it or something, but it has nothing to do with like, he actually, like, I kind of put it in my notes, where I was saying, it's like, oh, well, engineers always have all the cool toys. So it's like, so is that it? He got this thing, but didn't really read the instruction manual. So he like, and then it's like, oh, here's the button.
Yeah.
And
it is, like I said last week, I would like to know what the deal is with that.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully we will get to know. What else you got?
Well, I kind of had to rewrite this a little bit, but basically Jadzia Dax was always been one of my favorite characters in Star Trek.
Yes.
And
me too.
And I felt like Mariner kind of channeled that a little bit, but it's like, I mean, we know she's a captain and she's the Admiral's daughter. We know, like, I refer to her as like the army brat. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can see where she has all these experiences, just like Dax did, because she's been in many a host for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Seven/eight lifetimes, whatever.
So it's like, in that sense, it's like, you know, like, she's got all these experiences, and then she's kind of, I guess, in a sense, befriending Bolimir. But then as this episode goes on,
Boimler.
Well, it's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like getting like a Lord of the Rings reference or something.
it is a weird name, but
yeah. And I'm probably going to butcher it all through.
I think that's the intention, though. It's supposed to be a weird name.
Make you trip over it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess like the whole thing was just like, at least that's what I'm getting from it. I'm channeling that kind of part of out of her character. And then we see as she goes through the end of it that she kind of set this all up. But then so Boimler, like, kind of, whether or not she's doing it, you know, like if she's doing it in any kind of like a good way or a humbling way or whatever. But I thought it was very interesting that she let him basically get the last laugh, kind of teach him that it's like the world is not all about, you know, like the doing everything by the or Starfleet playbook. You know, it's like,
right.
It's just almost kind of like having fun with it. Don't take yourself serious. You know, like, you know, he's like, hey, I'm meeting this famous Klingon, you know, and I'm like, and I know the proper thing to say, like, this is what I'm doing. You know, he's dressed in his like, you know, his dress uniform. And then she just goes and just beats, like, starts fighting with him. But of course, she knows him. And Jadzia knew so many Klingons. You know, it's like, that's how she was. She just, like, she had these relationships way ahead of time. And then people were always surprised whenever it, you know, happened, because they're like, wait, how do you? Oh, it's like, yeah, that was my old host. So I don't know. I kind of got that whole thing. And, you know, and then at the end, it was just kind of like, I wrote in my notes, I was just saying, it's like, this is so Cisco Dax kind of sort of friendship that they had. And so I'm like, maybe that's where this is headed this season, is just like, we're going to see all this stuff go on and whatever. But like, they're kind of like the main part of this whole arc.
Yeah, we're
and friendship. And
where I could see this going is where one of them is captain and one of them is first officer. And, you know, it may be that with her natural ability, Mariner eventually becomes a captain. So we could see like a captain Mariner on Star Trek Picard. And then we see a Commander Boimler as her first officer, you know, the kind of first officer that's kind of by the book. And she's more the brash, you know, Kirk type of captain, or vice versa for that matter. But that's kind of where, you know, I see it.
But do you think this series is going to have any kind of reference crossover into Discovery or like Picard?
Well, I mean, there could be in Picard, there could be something that references.
Kind of references.
Yeah. Discovery, I doubt it. But I mean, it's possible now that they're in the 32nd century. So, I mean, yeah, it's possible, but I don't think so. I mean, the thing that, you know, resonates most to me, and it's kind of funny, and, you know, we've read the book, so it's not actually canon, but it's referenced in Picard a lot, is that, you know, the Federation starts working on this like massive armada to build for the Romulans to, you know, rescue them away from the supernova. And that supposedly starts the year after this. So I wonder if, like, in a season two, we may start to hear that kind of stuff, but the fact that it's animation, it may just keep running in, you know, 2380. but yeah. I do from the novel, at least it's 2381 that it's discovered that all this stuff's going on, and they start building the very start of the building of the Armada was in 2381. So anyway,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yep.
You had one more thing.
Yeah. It's just like, isn't Jamaharan, isn't that just an orgy?
I think so.
Yeah. I was like, because I know, at least in my understanding, it obviously has something to do with sex. And it's like, and I thought, like, when we, at least in Deep Space Nine, because a lot of stuff, I don't know, I keep it, is Bashir and Lita do that when they're breaking up. And
yeah, it seems like some kind of like sex ritual, or, you know,
or it's like
tantric sex or something. I mean,
or swingers or something. Yeah. Like, it was, it's just like, hey, it's okay. Well, it's like, we're just doing this.
It's never explained, but. And I don't think it ever will be. I don't know if it's explained in any novels or anything, but
I just thought it was Boimler, whatever. I just thought it's like, that's what he's thinking of. Yeah. And yes, it's like that whatever thing that was going to lay eggs down his throat or whatever. Yeah. It was just like, you dirty little boy, like whatever. And it was like, if just knowing that was that kind of thing, I had to look it up, because like, wait, I know that was from the Ryza thing, but I wasn't entirely sure. And then I'm like, oh, that's right. Those are those episodes. So it's funny. He's a dirty little boy.
Yeah. Well, he's young and inexperienced. So
that
goes right with it, you know? So we talked about Mariner. I really want to know the history of Mariner's career. Like, it seems like she's the same age as Boimler, yet she's served on 5 or 6 starships. So she must have been, I think I mentioned this part, like another Wesley Crusher or a Sylvia Tilly or something like that, or Captain Kirk, like someone who went through the academy, either started early, you know, like a Doogie Howser or something like that. You know what I mean? But bucked the trend, or, you know, who knows? I mean, obviously she seems to be trouble for her mother and father, more for her mother. She doesn't seem to want her around, but I don't know. We'll get it going on that. Learn a little bit more about that. I mean, at some point there has to be an episode where the Lower Decks figures out that she's the daughter of the captain. That just stands to reason. So. But she's obviously not very good at following orders. Like, she does her own thing, but she's always right at the same time. So anyway, that's what I tend to think, that over, you know, the evolution of this series, she's going to learn the balance between the two, I guess. There's nice subtle touches that I noticed in the animation. Like, for example, Rutherford's got like these buckets of sweat dripping off of him as he's about to ask for the transfer out of engineering. No, and I noticed that Rutherford's, like, the eye that's on the side of the cybernetic implant or whatever is pixelated. So it's kind of, it's obviously not like an actual eye, but it's like a pixelated eye. So I thought that was interesting. Mentioned all these Klingons with apostrophes, and I have to take exception to that, because there are many, many Klingons that don't have apostrophes, like Worf. Of course, his father, Moog, his brother, Kern, Chancellor/General Martok, of course, Kales, Chancellor Gowron, the traitor Duras, Kor, Cole, and of course, from Star Trek, Cole's from Star Trek Discovery as well, but the famous albino Klingon, Volk, and that the Ferengi was very season one Ferengi. You know, the human and the jumping around and the arm or the hand wrestling, you know,
what do you call that? Twiddling.
Twiddling, yeah. Very, very season one Ferengi, and not like Cork Ferengi. So it was funny. Okay, so let's move on to shipwide announcements. We don't really have anything as far as about this episode, but I do want to thank Wes Huntington, who was able to, I put a post on the Star Trek talk through media Facebook group that we could use some help collecting the news, because there's been quite a bit of news going on, And I'm not seeming able to catch it all this particular season, especially, I mean, this week it wasn't so bad because we had so many days, but like, you know, for the next episode, we've only got like Thursday and Friday afternoon to pick them up. So we could use some help. Wes has volunteered for that. Certainly, if anyone else would like to help, you know, drop us a line either in the Facebook group or in our feedback form, let us know. But any help with that would be very helpful. So anyway, thank you, Wes, for collecting these stories for us. First of all, I didn't even see this one. I was surprised to see it in the news. Ben Cross, who played the Kelvin Sarek in the 2009 Star Trek film, has died at the age of 72. So condolences to his family. I remember him most from Chariots of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's been in a lot of other things as well. But Kurtzman, Alex Kurtzman, talks a lot about several different of the series that are in production right now for Star Trek. There's a link to it. It's going to goldderby.com, and there's like a 20-something minute video on there of an interview that he did for them, and he mentions pretty much all of the shows and where they are with things. He mentions the fact that they've been using Zoom a lot, which we use Zoom for our podcasts. They've been using Zoom for their like writer's rooms, so they found it actually very productive to use that for making the stories up, because if you're not, you know, really familiar with it, most of the TV shows, they kind of write a lot collectively, you know, so they break out the stories collectively. And then sometimes, you know, they'll go out and actually write the teleplays based on the stories that were broken out during these writer's rooms, as they call it. But anyway, so that was interesting. He talked about like Strange New Worlds. He pretty much said that they're working on Discovery Season 4. Strange New Worlds is going to return to a TOS optimism. So it's going to be very reminiscent of the original series with Planet of the Week stories and a character arc. So I think in a lot of ways, this show, Lower Decks, is going to have a similar kind of feel to it, although in a comedic form. But if you've been, you know, clamoring for that, and you don't like so much this season-long story arc, and you want to see, you know, that more heady kind of like single, I think you may enjoy Strange New Worlds. And right away, first episode with Pike, I was calling for there needs to be a Pike show, and thankfully, a lot of other people agreed with me, including CBS. So. And supposedly, Strange New Worlds will begin shooting sometime in 2021. Of course, that is pretty broad to say 2021. That's 365 days. But, you know, hopefully earlier in 2021 versus later. But with COVID-19, who knows? CBS All Access is supposed to be rebranded in 2021. We know this. Well, one of the names that they are considering is Paramount Plus. That is on the short list. And of course, that would kind of go in with, say, Disney Plus and HBO Max, I guess. But it is, I think it's a good name, actually. People remember Paramount Pictures, and they remember a lot that the, you know, the Next Gen and all that era was based in the Paramount era. And there is a Paramount Network as well, which has been called like 15 different things, but it's now called Paramount Network. If they go with this name, I think it's a great name. I don't necessarily think it has to be this name. They could still just call it CBS All Access as far as I'm concerned, but I do like Paramount Plus as the name. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, it just kind of depends, because I mean, Viacom, CBS, they own a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what do you bring that umbrella to basically be like, this is our thing? And just like HBO Max, Disney Plus, Peacock, Paramount does have, it just is, it's an easier thing to say than saying Viacom CBS Plus or CBS All Access Plus or like whatever. Right. It'd just be like, hey, done. This is the one thing. This is what we'll brand ourselves around. And it just encompasses all this stuff.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't cost any more because I already paid for
CBS All actually, Access. That's what I've heard. That was one of the stories that I heard is that the price will be the same. So I think it's going to continue being $6.99 without, or is it $5.99? Is it $5.99 without commercials, $9.99 with?
I think it's $9.99.
It's so I know it's $9.99 with because I pay for it without commercials. Right. So, and it makes perfect sense for me to do so because that means I can get through an episode faster when I'm podcasting about it. So it's worth the extra bucks. From what I heard, the CEO of Viacom CBS said it's going to be the same price. So that's great. The entire second season of The Short Treks, which unfortunately is still not available streaming in, you know, outside of US and Canada, although I believe you can get it on Blu-ray, that is free for streaming until August 31st as part of the Emmy campaign, because the Short Treks were nominated for an Emmy for like best, I think, short, I don't know if it's short program or I'm not sure. It's anyway, the whole like Short Treks got nominated. So, and I know that the first episode of Lower Decks is available for streaming for free. So you don't need to have a Viacom or a CBS All Access subscription. So you can watch that. I don't know how long that's going to be on for, but you can certainly see the first one. And former Doctor Who David Tennant said in, I think on his podcast, that he would like to be in Star Trek. He had George Takei on his podcast, which I guess has not aired yet, but they have talked about it, was, you know, in various articles. So
I just have to say I would be very on board for that, but they wouldn't have to like to do some kind of play on like Doctor, but not being like specifically like, oh, it's the Doctor,
right,
but just being like something or whatever. Because I'm sorry, David Tennant is amazing.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him on Star Trek.
They've actually done a few comic books where it's been Doctor Who and Star Trek. So it's kind of funny, but that's not what he's talking about here.
I would love it if it was him and Jodie Whittaker, like to.
Oh yeah.
Some like just so that's like it's we're not trying to bring Doctor Who into the Star Trek universe, but just like do something fun. What a better way to like try to bring over Doctor Who.
Well, one thing I've thought of that I would love to see would be like on Discovery if they had Andrew Lincoln or Michael Cudlitz or something like that come up against Sinequa Martin Green. You know, because she was, of course, a star on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, Walking Dead.
Or maybe even like Jeffrey Dean Morgan or something like that, and who was in Star Trek Voyager, I think, a long time ago, in a small part. I mean, I would love to see that. And anyway.
Yeah.
I know that Andrew Lincoln has talked about he would love to do it, but. All right, so that's it for our news. So let's start to wrap it up, and why don't you tell people how to contact us.
All right. To submit your feedback and to connect with us, submit your theories and feedback, go to talkthroughmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. You can also call 216-232-6146 and leave us a voicemail there. We have our email address, and you can email us for this show specifically too. It's like all our emails work, but to get to, you know, this one is lowerdecks@talkthroughmedia.com. But again, all our emails will get them. So don't think that you only have to send it to that one. And also post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and that's facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts. The deadline for season one, episode three will be on our regular day and time, which is Friday, August 21st, 2020 at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Also worth mentioning that our Twitter is Star Trek TTM. A great way to support us is by sharing our posts that are on Twitter and Facebook. The ones that come through the Facebook group, you can't share, but we post our major ones, especially when the episode comes out, at the Talk Through Media page, which is at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And you can actually write a review about us on there. So I would like to encourage you to do that. And also, another thing that I mentioned last week, I've been busy on TikTok, doing TikToks on there. And I think I've done any more TikToks? I think I actually did since last week, more TikToks about Star Trek since then. But I've got some more that I have to get out the door. So there'll be more in between now and at the time that we are recording this Tuesday night and the time you hear this. So. So share us on Facebook and retweet us on Twitter, especially when the episode is out. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast clients of your choice, whatever that may be. While you're there, if you can, please give us a rating or review. Also mention many different pod apps these days. Podcast apps use Podchaser. So you can either go to podchaser.com, or if your podcast client uses it, go and it has a chance to leave us a rating or review. Please do a rating or review there. Anything like that helps to get the word out. The other thing, of course, is our Patreon. Now, we released, and you may have heard it, our August Patreon. We try to do at least once a month. We took a couple of months off, but we're going to go back to, you know, monthly. We'll probably do one about the halfway point of Star Trek Lower Decks and do one either just before or just as Discovery comes out. So, like I say, we'll go back to monthly, and that starts as low as $1 per month. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters: Clint McCollum, Lawrence Todd, James Robbins, Fred Petrie, this guy here, Kyle McAdams, and I finally got her name right, Kim Vogley. I asked her and last week, how do you pronounce her name? Please tell me. And she told me. Brian Shiro, Christoph Lechleitner, Lee Radke, Aaron Mays, Michael Carrier, Stephen Chambers, Kevin Lyle, and Jeff Gentry. And worth saying, if you are listening to us on the Star Trek Picard cast feed and you plan to be watching Star Trek Discovery, you may want to subscribe to the Star Trek Discovery podcast feed, which contains both the Picard and the Lower Decks episodes. So you can always, you know, subscribe to both, but you really only need to subscribe to the Discovery feed. And everything that is available on Talk Through Media, which includes Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, The Walking Dead Talk Through, Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, and Rebinge Deep Space Nine, and if we ever get back to it, Let's Talk Through, that's all on the all-inclusive feed. So just look for Talk Through Media all-inclusive feed on whatever, or all-inclusive, and you will find it on whatever podcast client that you use. We mentioned that we were going to do an episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. We still haven't done it yet, but we will. Things were kind of hectic this week, so we didn't do it this week. But we're going to do one very soon.
Yes.
Our next episode is going to be covering season one, episode three, titled Temporal Edict. We don't know who's written it or directed it, and we don't know a description, but we do know that until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.